Blog Talk Radio.
Free Stephen A. Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates to speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans are great. The 4th of 26, so the war ain't can wait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys diversified and educated. Yo.
All right, what's good, sports fanatics? You know what time it is, so that can only mean one thing. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports on the WRS Podcast Network. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm joined at the round table, as I am every week, with the sports guys. We got Jimmy the Blueprint Williams and B. Austin. What's up, fellas?
What's up, King?
How do you do?
I'm good, man. Y'all know football season is still on that horizon, but we want to talk this week about that Stephen A. Smith situation, so we'll spend significant time on that. We'll also do our weekly segment with Fred Perdue of Heavy in the Games about college football and the scoops leading into the season. But before we talk to Fred and discuss Stephen A., we got some more smack talk for you. So make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports so you can join the conversations. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Make sure you remember that number, because when we do talk about this Stephen A. situation, we want to hear from you guys. We want opinions from everybody out there. So, again, that number is 323-410-0012. Don't call now. Call later. But before we get started, we got to remind you guys to check out the great shows on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. You can get there from our main site, that's warroomsports.com, or you can get there directly at wrspn.com. You'll find shows such as The Broad Street Line with Roy Burton and Chris Domingo, Tissue in the Tape with Savai Davis and Phil Wilson, After Further Review with the Mayor, and a whole lot more. So you can check out the listings also at fatsradio.com, phatzradio.com, because all of the sports shows from the War Room Sports Podcast Network have been syndicated on Fats Radio, so you can check that out for airtimes of all your favorite WRSPN sports shows, including our show, The War Room, which airs over there Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. What's good, generals? We got another stand fight alert. Y'all heard about Olivia Pope taking shots at Beyonce, Queen B? Is this true, or is that just gossip? Is that just a rumor?
Yo, I don't know, man. Shout out to the side joint, you know what I'm saying? Taking shots at Queen B. But
yo, shout out to side joints everywhere.
Yo, but
thought, Jimmy, when we talked about that before, when we were talking about Jay and Beyonce and the stands and, you know, who they going to go with, I think you did like a top five list of stands, and I think Olivia Pope was on that list that you named. So this could get interesting.
Yeah, LeBron,
if it's true.
LeBron. Sean Mel Carter, Beyonce,
Queen B, Michael Jordan, and Olivia Pope.
Yeah, Olivia Pope. Yo,
the highest value with Stanley. Kerry Washington don't have Stanley's, it's Olivia.
Yeah, no doubt. Yo, the thing about it is, I'm going to keep it a bean. I don't like to see our sisters fight like that in public, but I'm still interested. It's sort of like I don't approve of World Star videos, but I ain't going front and act like I don't watch them when people be, like, sending them to me. You know what I'm saying? But, so that's how I feel about that. I don't want to see our sisters fight, man. Keep that in-house. But at the end of the day, if y'all going to rumble, I'm going to watch.
If anybody out there don't know what we're talking about, Kerry Washington allegedly said, that Beyonce should spend less time shaking her booty and more time pushing other agendas, like the value of education and healthy eating, as well as promoting book reading. So, you know, sound like Kerry took the high road on her. And B. Austin, like, where do you draw the line between fiction and reality? Because Kerry Washington gets a lot of heat for playing, like, the world's most famous side piece. So does she have room to talk because what she's doing is acting, or is she still sending an important message to the females as well?
No, I mean, I think the level, like, right now, the level of higher thinking and morality that she's speaking to, it is there's only a few people that function there anyway. And I'm in agreement. I mean, I have my own beef with African American woman portraying herself as a modern day Sally Hemings, being a house niggerous bedfellow to a Caucasian
Goomba.
President. But but it's kind of, you know, as much slander as I throw Jay and Beyonce's way, I kind of stand up and defend Beyonce in this. I mean, I don't know that she's not socially active, but she's an entertainer. And she's an entertainer with a voluptuous form. And, she accentuates her positives and shows them off in her performances. But I'm not mad. I mean, that's what she's supposed to do as an entertainer.
Yo,
so
shout out to the homie Naran, who will argue up and down no matter what you tell him that Beyonce is number one in the world. He says pound for pound when you add everything in. I guess
she's
talking about her too. But we
don't need it. She's not even number one
she's
in her group.
Even.
But look, man, let's talk some sports, man.
But Dev, this actually ties into one of our stories, and I guess I'll bring it up when the story comes up in reference to Charles Barkley. So I'll hold off on my other thoughts on this topic because it kind of ties in with that. But go ahead, let's progress.
Naran just likes white women. And he doesn't want to sell all the way out, so he goes with the top light-skinned joint in the game.
Yo, shout out to you, B. Austin, because you definitely rep for the chocolate women, yo. B. Austin's Tumblr is like, he represents the chocolate women well.
Chocolate factory.
Chocolate women, cigars, and nice luxury cars. That's what B. Austin's Tumblr is made of. If anybody wants to see B. Austin's Tumblr, you have to strap up before you go to their website because it gets like that.
It's syphilis from looking at it. We snitching?
All my jaws clean.
All right, well, look, man, let's talk some sports. Let's talk about what happened this week. While you good folks were on that grind trying to make a buck, all right, while you're on the grind, as usual, it's brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket that you're really, really, really going to need in about 3 weeks or so, go to our website, WarRoomSports.com, click on the DirecTV logo, and order yourself a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, then you got to have DirecTV. All right, last week we talked about the the Cleveland Browns fan who had the cojones to go to former Brown/Ravens owner's grave, Art Modell, to his grave and actually urinate on his grave while videotaping it and talking trash in the process. Of course, as we kind of were asking last week, this man is facing charges now. He could face up to 2 years in jail and a $500 fine. what do you guys think about that? B. Austin, I don't think we got to talk to you about that whole thing. What do you think about this dude who pissed on Art Modell's grave and
literally,
now he might end up paying the price for it?
I don't want to be a hypocrite, not going to condone. I'm not going to condone desecrating the resting place of a dead man because that's out of line. But I would be a liar if I said there aren't some graves that I want to piss on. I definitely think the jail. I think the jail thing is excessive. Fine him $1,500. Triple the fine. Fine him $1,500, and let him go on his way. I mean,
but isn't public urination in itself a crime? I mean, I don't know.
I think all men are guilty.
Uromycetitis poisoning. So you had to get it out.
I have no problem with putting this gentleman in jail because, first off, not only are you urinating on my homie's grave, but second thing is, like, you're making a video of it. You think it's funny. You spreading it out there to the world. Like, yo, like, you need to be made an example of.
Yeah, you snitched on yourself by videotaping.
Yeah,
you think it's funny.
Think about it. Now, what type of hypocrite would I be if I took the high road knowing damn damn well that as soon as Donovan McNabb died, I'm a, never mind. Go ahead.
But here's the point, though. Are you going to put it on YouTube and laugh and make a joke out of it, adding like, you know, text to it?
You might.
I'm good with time. I don't do time.
Yo, do your dirt all by your lonely. My man shared it with the world.
Yeah. All right,
well, share this jail time.
No doubt. Keeping it Cleveland Browns and another story that we kind of talked about last week. See, these are stories that have basically grown legs in a week. We know about Josh Gordon getting in trouble again and subsequently being suspended for the entire season. Actually, he was already suspended for the season before he got into his last little scrape with the law. But his appeal was today, so I'm not sure how it actually went down. But some information came out during the week about what his defense team was going to argue at the hearing. And what they were going to argue, they were going to dispute his test. His positive drug test for marijuana, they were going to dispute it based on the notion of secondhand smoke. So basically he's saying, you know, he was no longer smoking marijuana, but his test, his levels were what they were because of secondhand smoke. Any of you buying this? I mean, his sample A and his sample B were different numbers, and you know, folks laughed.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Lab folks are kind of saying that it's kind of odd that the numbers were that far off from A sample to B sample, but I guess you guys, one of you guys already answered of whether or not you believe this guy.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
No words.
The way you carry yourself.
Yo. Talking to dude like Bumblebee from the Transformers movies.
We just learned a lesson earlier in the show pertaining to dry snitching and telling on yourself. So I'm, without incriminating myself, I know for a fact that defense is a crock of hogwash and malarkey. Shout out to the brother Brandon Pemberton. This dude is it's kind of sad to me because it's like this guy is probably the top five most talented wide receivers in the NFL, and he's really blowing it like bad. No,
literally,
Michael Sam, but he's blowing it.
No,
he's
blowing
it
literally.
He's
blowing it.
Yo, there's no way that you're going to get a positive test from secondhand unless you're sitting in the room and it's like the Venus smoke the Venus smoke trap. And if it's the Venus smoke trap, you're in the room with the intention of getting high without smoking. Like, come on.
So
dude,
you're saying the only way this could happen is if he was sitting, let's say, in a small closet with Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg. That's the only way to say it.
And if that's the case, you want to be there, and you want to get blowed. You're just not putting it to the lips. That's all.
Well,
when
the NFL got wind of what his defense was going to be, they put out some statements basically warning them, you know, before you come in here talking that hogwash, like their policy has always been, you're responsible for what you put in your body. So if it's secondhand smoke, they're basically telling him you didn't have to be around while people were smoking marijuana. So they're not really buying it. They're telling him basically you need more people as well. Josh is
the other funny thing with this is. How much of an a-hole is his attorney for taking the money that he paid him on retainer and going to war with that defense? Like,
or is
that the
smart
defense?
Is he look? He getting paid? He getting paid with the bogus on
not.
Nothing is
what
this
he's saying. How much of a snake you gotta be to take that money for that?
You said snake. I thought he said a-hole. I mean.
I didn't say he wasn't smart.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought you were saying. Okay, my bad. That's what I thought you were saying. Listen, here's my thing, right? When I talk to young gentlemen, man, and try to keep them on the right path, I always tell them about their reputation, you know, especially living in America, that's with 3Ks, about how your reputation, man. So the thing is, he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. He just doesn't. And it's his fault. He has nobody to blame but himself. He doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. You know what I'm saying? Like, if this was other athletes who have, you know, built up that social capital, they can kind of get the benefit of the doubt. But this gentleman just doesn't. So no one believes him, not at all, based upon who he is. Even if you weren't, you know, who you are, it's hard to believe that story. But we add on that, yo, you stay in trouble, nobody believes you. And you could be telling the truth, but it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, his capital is just not on that level. I mean, this was an already pending suspension, and you got caught in the car with marijuana again. So why should anybody believe you? You know what I'm saying? It's crazy, man. His whole story is just getting crazy. And like Bjarsson said, he's a really talented dude, and he's blowing it, literally. All right, Charles Barkley. I don't know if you guys heard about this story. There was a carjacking in Philly. As the carjackers were fleeing, they hit a family. What were they doing, Jimmy? They were out on the corner, like, collecting money for a church or something?
They were out on the corner, like, selling waters and fruit, what have you. Raise money for their church.
Yeah, and the car hit all five members of this family, but three children died. I haven't heard the latest on this, Jim, because I heard initially that the woman was in the hospital, maybe in a coma or something, and she hadn't even known yet that her three kids were dead. Has anything changed on that yet?
Yeah, she's in a hospital as well as someone else who was assaulted with it with this whole debacle. It's a sad story, man. But they said that she's going to make it. But at the end of the day,
I'm about to say, is she going to want to make it after this? But anyway, the story that we're getting at is Charles Barkley, you know, former NBA star Charles Barkley, has offered to pay for the funeral of the three kids killed in this fatal carjacking. You know, I just shout out to Charles Barkley for, you know, seeing a story and just having that feeling that there's not much you can do, but you want to do something. So, you know, I definitely feel where he's going with that. So shout out to Charles Barkley for doing that. You guys got any thoughts on that situation?
I have a lot for the plug.
I mean, respect to the round mound of rebound. That's a very righteous and altruistic thing for him to do. And if I know Charles, and I don't know him personally, but from what I know of him, he definitely personally didn't publicize this fact. Somehow someone got wind of it, because his MO isn't really to be known as some humanitarian or all of the things that he's done within the community. He usually goes the other way in terms of getting press on it. So he's not the type to do this just for the sake of getting a pat on the back. It's one of those things, like you said, that where the parent and as a human being, he just has such a level of empathy and sympathy for the person enduring the loss of their children. It's like you feel like you got to do something even though you're helpless. Like, so.
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts on this. It triggered a lot of thoughts. I can attest to the fact that Charles Barkley does a lot in the community. I've actually seen – I mean, well, I grew up in Philadelphia, right? I've seen him and Reggie White, rest in peace, literally in the hood, you know, spending time with kids, doing things. And when they tried to publicize it, they actually fought against it because their whole thing was, we're not doing it for attention, and we're not doing it to be portrayed as this. Charles Barkley went as far as saying, I'm not a role model, even though he was doing things in the community. I've seen it with my own eyes, so I know that to be a fact, and I can, you know, kind of confirm what B. Austin said. But as time goes on and I see how the athletes respond to things in the community, I wonder whether that's actually the best way to go, or is it better to publicize it? Not that you're looking for attention, but to see if people follow in your footsteps.
They follow
everything else you do. So I'm actually at war with myself thinking about what the right response is to this. Should you publicize it just to see if more people will buy into it? I mean, because we live in a world full of sheep and followers. They follow everything else you do. So let's see if we can get them to follow on something positive. And that's what that's what I was talking about in terms of tying with that whole story with Beyonce and Olivia Pope, because she no longer has a real name. She's Olivia Pope from now on. I'm pretty sure, and I've also read about the things about Beyonce doing things in her community in Houston. I know she did this something for a church. She bought a church something. But regardless of that, the thing is, it doesn't get publicized. So, you know, she does do things. But now, should they publicize what they do? I know that Sean Carter does things, too, in terms of his foundation. But the thing is, a lot of that's not publicized. So what is your guys' response to that? Because I think about this, like, should they make a bigger deal out of it? Some people don't say they don't want to do it because that's not why they're doing it, but should they do it to try to inspire others?
I see both sides. I see both sides, Jimmy, and I think the key with that is, are you going to inspire a genuine response? And I know that the logical response to my question would be, well, does it really matter if it's genuine as long as something
happens? Yeah, I was about to go there.
I know. I anticipate that because I play chess. But the thing is, a lot of these sycophants, if you're only going to do something because your hero, your quasi-dad, your adopted, you know, famous mom is doing it, and it's because you dick-ride them, as opposed to you genuinely having a feeling of, I want to do something, and then looking at a celebrity doing it and feeling that inspiration, then the true longevity and value won't be there, because as soon as that celeb stops doing it, or as soon as tension dies down, it'll all go away, as it usually does. So I have mixed emotions. I'm kind of torn. I see both sides, because
now, be honest,
any act that's going to inspire
my thing with that is, you'll have people that fall off because of what you just said, but you'll also have people who will realize the you know, the joy you're getting helping others, and they didn't start for no other reason but because they were following their heroes and their adopted parents.
True, you're right.
So once they start, you know. So I mean, I don't know. It's just a tough thing. What do you think, Dev?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, fellas. It's kind of like people being water, and they just jumping into a filter or a spaghetti strainer or something, and a lot of people are going to fall off the wagon. But at the same time, like you just said, that there may be some people who actually realize, like, wow, I get an actual genuine joy out of this, and keep doing the things they need to do. So that is it's a tricky question, because you know, especially me, I call people out all the time for things that don't really look genuine, but maybe that is something, you know, that if that's what they care about, then it should be something maybe that they
publicize. You know what?
How many people actually care about everybody else doing something for the community? You know, a lot of people, intentions are genuine, are like, okay, I do my part now. That's all I care about.
No, you know what, Jimmy, you're right, because even if a celeb does something and a million of their dick riders follow it, as long as 100 of those dick riders are genuine, it's worth it. So you're right.
So I think it may need to be a paradigm shift in terms of how celebrities and athletes do it, because I know that, you know, why they stop celebrating what they do. I don't do it for the attention. I do it because it's from my heart. Well, a lot of them are probably lying to begin with anyway. That's my dev thought. You don't believe nothing nobody say. But
I don't do that.
But a lot of them are probably lying anyway. So I think it's time to switch and actually publicize the good you do. It's funny because one of the books I'm reading right now is $40 Million Slave, and that's like part of it in terms of how there's been a paradigm shift with our athletes, entertainers, and how they think about giving back. But, you know, salute to Charles Barkley, getting back to the original story. Like I said, he's always held the city down ever since he played here, long after his career. So salute to Chris Dawes, man. Because of that, you're better than Tim Duncan.
I already thought he was, but that's minority opinion. John Abraham, man, Arizona Cardinals linebacker John Abraham was found by an officer passed out behind the wheel of his black Dodge Challenger around 4 p.m. Eastern time on June 29th at an intersection of an Atlanta suburb after he left the Pink Pony Strip Club. First of all,
let's go.
Okay, so of course y'all know he was arrested for DUI.
Shout out to the Pink Pony, though. Shout out to the Pink Pony. Some good things have happened to me there. You cut the check, but shout out to y'all ladies who are working for your college tuition and to better your lives through entertaining gentlemen.
Listen, man,
I was going to say, B. Austin, to your point, like, I've been, not that I frequent them anymore, but I've been to a lot of strip clubs all across the country. I'm not bragging about that because there's nothing really to brag about. Actually, it's kind of sick. But I've never met one stripper that really was going to college, although that's always their thing. I'm trying to pay my way through college. Have you ever met anyone who really was going to college?
I can confirm in Atlanta, because it's so prevalent in Atlanta, it's like it's almost like a regular job. So if you're somewhat attractive and your mom has blessed you with cakes, like, they put that cake on display, and they really do pay their way through school.
They you really act do. Like a lady in America, man. They don't, never mind. Go ahead.
But back to John Abraham, he's a noodle just because it's this close to training camp, and the media machine, which is 24/7, 365 now, but they ratchet up the attention on these NFL players, especially when it's going into August. Why are you that hammered at 4 p.m. in the afternoon? Not only that, but John Abraham is, if I'm not mistaken, he's like a 10-year vet. Like, he's like in our age group. Like, he's too old to be doing young bull stuff like that.
Yo, he said he only had two drinks. If that's true, somebody slipped him something. Because it said it took the officer several minutes to wake him up, and his speech was, like, very mumbled and slurred. So I can't imagine.
I know
imagine.
What it was, Dev. I know exactly what it was. He did only have two drinks, but it wasn't alcohol. Shout out to Jefferson Street.
Yo! Stop snitching.
All right. So, Abraham, man, get your stuff together, man. NFL. I don't know what it is with that NFL.
We've been talking about this consistently for weeks on, about how something with the NFL.
Right. It's more than a theory. It's not just a theory. We right.
Yeah.
I guess at this point, you can say that, yo. Like, we got to be, because it's just too much, B. It's too much.
All right, then. Well, let's take a quick time out to let everybody know who in the world of sports is having a birthday today.
You already know it's time to get those birthday shout-outs, and those birthdays are brought to you by Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates, treating patients in the DMV area and beyond. Visit alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. That's 703-379-0700, and tell them War Room Sports sent you.
It's my birthday. Yay!
Birthday shout-outs for this week. Shout-out to Ed Casey Mack, who always, adds some on for us. But what we have thus far is Michael Bradley from Team USA Soccer, turns 27. Tim Couch, who was drafted before your man, turns 37. Jonathan Ogden, one of the greatest offensive linemen I've ever seen personally play, turns 40. Gus Frerotte, no comment, turns 43.
Yo, he will forever be more known for smacking his head against the wall. That's what he's known for, man. He wasn't terrible,
pretty much.
He was good.
Remember this gentleman in college, Andre Ware, put up all kinds of dumb numbers.
Yeah.
He turns 40.
He came to the league and was trash truck.
Well, see, that's why I didn't bring him. I said college, man. I was talking about the man's college career. Scotty Brooks turns 49. Shout out to Scotty Brooks.
Still
Mark
relevant.
Mark Cuban turns 56. Shout out to Mark Cuban. Hopefully you don't see anybody walking around you with a hoodie on, good brother. Bill Callahan turns 58. And rest in peace to Kurt Gowdy. Had to give a birthday rest in peace shout out. It was born July 31st, 19. Yo, he old and died in 07.
One of the legend sportscasters. All right. So.
Absolutely.
Salute.
It's my birthday. Yay!
All right, real quick, before we jump into some hot topics, just going to let you guys know, as usual, you can check out our website. That's warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about the company, the show, to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities, anything. You might want to write for us, whatever you want to do, you can contact us there. For general inquiries, just email us, info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab. To buy War Room Sports merchandise, you can click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles. You can click the respective icons and tabs to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, to watch our videos at warroomsports.com, and to listen to the network at wrspn.com, and to download the free War Room Sports mobile app to get everything I just mentioned on the go. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show, because we're going to have a nice topic coming up in about 20 minutes or so. So get in that chat room. That's blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom to enter the chat room. Just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook and Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, just make sure you click follow so you can get updates and reminders about the show every week. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. But to call in and speak with us, you can dial a Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when you're prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. So let's get into some hot topics real quick, because after that, of course, we're going to have our weekly segment with Fred Perdue of Heavy in the Games to talk about the USA Today coaches poll that came out, Jameis Winston, and a few more things. So what were you about to say, Jim?
I was about to say, you know, shout out to Imaginary Players and LaRoy in our chat room holding it down. LaRoy gave some more birthdays. A.J. Green, DeMarcus Ware, Marty Booker, Chris Winkie, and
Winky Dinky Dog.
Yeah.
Winky
yeah.
Dinky Dog. Yeah. And speaking of Imaginary Players, Hank from Imaginary Players is actually going to join us when we have that Stephen A. Smith conversation. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yo, I call Chris Winky Dinky Dog.
Thank you, dog. All right, Jim, let everybody know.
He wasn't even bad either. Yo, you don't deserve a nickname like that.
He was old, man.
He was all right.
He was like 28 years old when he came
out.
He
came in the league at 40.
You know, that's my Hollywood Shuffle reference, man. Winky Dinky Dogs, man. Jim, let everybody know what
hot
topics the board's talking about.
Absolutely. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible. Sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can have someone reading a book for you. You can get a free book just by going to that link. And again, that link is audibletrial.com/warroomsports. I just finished listening to the Sugar Ray Leonard book. I wrote an amazing review, if I do say so myself, on War Room Sports blog. Check it out at warroomsports.com/blog. The newest book I got is called It's called God Is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything by Christopher Hitchin. You know, I listen to a little bit of everything. I listen to religious books, I listen to sports, whatever, but the bottom line is there's several hundred thousand books at Audible. So go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports and get you a free book. Just get a free, who don't like nothing free, yo? Anyway,
yeah, put your book.
Shout out to me. This is about me.
Shorty can't eat no books. In the NBA.
Yo, I watched Shorty the other night.
I know the NBA has named Michelle Roberts the president of the NBA Players Association. So, you know, she's an attorney, but she's been voted in as the new director of the PA, making her the first woman to head up a union in any of the major North American professional sports leagues. I don't have much on that except for to give her a shout-out, you know, ladies on the rise. You guys got anything on this? Because, you know, your man Billy Hunter was voted out. She was voted in. She's running stuff.
I was I was going to make a statement, but I ain't trying to get Stephen A. Smith. But, shout out and salute to her, man. Like, you know, women are making moves, man, and I salute that.
Yo, the only place for a woman is the kitchen and the bedroom, man.
That's my Uncle Fred
Sanford said that, and if you can't play and compete in the league, then you should not be able to be the players of the league.
Yo, that is B. Austin, by the way.
Yo, War Room Sports is going to have to suspend you for a week. We're going to have to Stephen
like, no,
A.
ladies, I love y'all. I love y'all, man. Salute to Michelle Roberts. She's a well-known force in the legal community in the Washington, D.C. area. Where one of our many War Room Sports many headquarters, shout out to her. So I was just joking, ladies.
Yeah, kind of an overwhelming vote too. She got 6 more votes than she even needed for election. So Billy Hunter was sent a message in that whole thing. He was sent a message.
GTFOH, Billy.
Yeah. All right. Staying with the NBA, as y'all know. The judge ruled against Donald Sterling in the case between him and his wife, so it basically clears the way for his wife to go ahead and make that $2 billion sale to Steve Ballmer, or does it? Because we know Donald Sterling is the type of dude that's going to exhaust every single legal method he has. So do you guys see some kind of appeal coming on? Is he going to take this to another court? Because from what I hear, he'll probably take it to every single court that will hear it before he allows this to go,
we'll say,
you know,
that was
to go
really
down.
Upset. You know, you can't understand how hurt I was. And also, I was hurt for all.
Magic time,
yo,
man.
Yo, I have no clue what that was about. But all I'm saying is this, right? I'm rooting that he does that. I just want to see what happens if this is not resolved before the next season.
The depositions. Jimmy wants to see the depositions.
No, Jimmy wants to see if all these Malcolm X's is gonna
exactly
stay with their word. Because Doc talking about he's gonna quit. Chris Paul's not gonna play. Y'all know me. I don't believe anybody. So I personally think they said that thinking or having been assured by somebody that there's no way this is going to drag into the season. So I'm with you, Jim. I want it to happen because I want to see people.
Both of you are right, because not only do I want to see if they stick to their guns, B. Austin's right. The depositions will be pure comedy. I read what you sent me earlier about his disposition in court.
Yeah, so he's crazy.
Could you imagine a deposition? Like, yo, I know we would have so many clips for our show that would come from his deposition. So I'm rooting for that. Donald, keep fighting.
He's got
keep
eight.
Keep fighting, you racist bastard. Keep fighting.
Yeah, what Jimmy is talking about, from what I sent him earlier, I sent him a little snippet from a story, and it reads, in combative testimony, Sterling said he would never, ever sell the team that he bought in 1981, blah, blah, blah. He vowed to fight the NBA in court until the day he dies. Before taking the stand, he kissed his wife and then testified that he loved her. But the following day, when she approached him in the court, he yelled, quote, "Get away from me, you pig." Yeah, what is wrong with him? How do you kiss her prior to yesterday's testimony and then call her a pig, scream out in the courtroom, "Get away from me, you pig."
We need depositions, yo.
Yeah.
We need them.
She probably came up to get another kiss thinking, you know, it was sweet since yesterday she got a kiss. And dude went crazy.
Honey,
man.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, too. I wish I could change the skin. The color of my skin.
That is the issue. You missed the issue.
What's the issue?
The issue is we don't have to broadcast it.
I'm not broadcasting anything.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a big problem here. I really all don't right. feel like going anywhere. I don't feel like going to Europe. I don't feel like
you're. All right, so yeah, I really do want this to stretch on because I want to see what happens. But LeBron did he surprise you guys? Because we talked about LeBron last week, and he put out the quote-unquote feeler on Instagram and Twitter to ask his fans whether he should take number 23 or number 6. I thought this was just LeBron just trying to get on the level of his fans again, just, you know, more image damage control, which he probably doesn't have to do anymore. I mean, he went back. Everybody loves him. I just think that's what I thought he was doing. And I thought there was no way that he would go back to 23 because we know how LeBron's team, you know, how his team thinks financially. And going to number 6 in Cleveland, which he's never worn in Cleveland, would have netted him a nice little cash windfall of all the new jerseys that everybody had to buy. I mean, a lot of people got rid of or burned their jerseys the first time. So he's still going to sell some jerseys. But I'm asking you guys, are you surprised? Because remember, the original reason that LeBron supposedly was going to number 6 was out of respect for Michael Jordan. So did it surprise you guys for that reason and for the money reasons that he's going back to 23?
Man, I don't believe this dude in anything, as sensitive cat, in anything he says, man. So,
damn.
I don't know. I don't necessarily think that he...
Are you saying that because of this?
What?
You know, I think, I've been thinking about it lately, and what I'm going to do, I think I'm going to change my number next year. I think no guy in the NBA should ever wear 23. I think, you know, he can't get the NBA logo. Much respect to Jerry West. So I think, you know, his number shouldn't be worn by any player in the NBA. So I'm thinking about just changing my number next year just to show the tribute that what he did for this game, the pioneer, everybody, he laid down the stepping stones for everybody to come up through the ranks. And I'm going to change my number next year because that's how much respect I got for a guy like that.
What number?
Okay, that was when he was still with Cleveland in the playoffs, his last season there. So clearly that was before, you know, the speech coach was with him for 18 hours out of the day. But, Jimmy, my question to you is, because what we know is that Miami was one of the few teams who had retired the number 23. So you can't wear 23 in Miami. So was this in hindsight, was this LeBron telling us that he was going to Miami the next season? Because we cut that clip. After that, he was asked by, I think it was our man with the colorful suit.
Craig Sager.
I think Craig asked him, you're going to be wearing number 6, but what uniform are you going to be wearing that on? And he wouldn't bite on that. But in hindsight, do you think it's that, or do you think he meant what he said about Michael Jordan? Because if he did, I don't understand what he's doing now. What's your thoughts?
Here's my thoughts on that.
I know you didn't mean that.
Damn, he asked me, though. Yo, here's my thoughts on that. LeBron is in the Illuminati, yo. LeBron lost the finals in 2007, 2011, and 2014, and he made his announcement that he was going back to Cleveland on 7/11/14. That's the Illuminati. Now, so he already knew what he was doing, right? My biggest problem with that, when you just played that, my man said Michael Jordan pioneered the game for everybody.
He did?
Michael Jordan was in the room with Dr. Naismith. Like, no, we should do it this way.
Yo, but Jimmy, the crazy part about what you just said is the number that he went to was the guy that Michael followed. And then
exactly.
If you want to take it even farther back, that's Bill Russell's number. So you're actually wearing a number if you're really going to be respecting players and not wearing numbers. Like, come on, you went to Doc and Bill Russell? Because you respected Mike? So what is it now?
Man,
he no
he
longer
said Mike pioneered the game for everybody.
Basketball didn't start till 84. Y'all know that. Y'all know that, though, Jim. Basketball didn't start till 84.
Come on, man.
Roll with us, because you know we got it. Roll with us, because you know we got it.
I think it was just a speech mistake, man. I told you that was before, you know, the image consultants, the speech coaches, or whatever. But I just don't understand it. I'm like, maybe LeBron's at a point where he's like, look, I'm better than Mike, or I'm going to be better than Mike. Because I just don't see you making that particular statement, and now you're going back to that number. But we've seen LeBron say things like this before that he's gone back on. Remember that quote where, you know, I want to stay and build something here in Cleveland. I want to build a championship here. And then, you know, like 2 years later, he bounced. So it's
one thing I can say. One thing I can say about LeBron is this: like, yo, he moves to the beat of his own drum. He does whatever he wants, like, regardless. Like, so for me, it kind of isn't shocking because LeBron just does what he feels like that day. Like, it doesn't even matter.
Yo, but we said that last week. Yeah. We were saying we'd be surprised if he changed it, and then remember we kind of changed gears on that. Like, well, actually, it's LeBron, so he's so unpredictable. You can't be surprised by anything he does.
Anymore, he's a flop flipper.
but to give him credit for one thing, man, he is not predictable. Cats, we know what they're going to say. We know what they're going to do. You know, LeBron shocks the world like every time he does something publicly.
Yo, exactly, yo.
Roll with him because you know he got it. All right, so real quick because we're going to get Fred Perdue on the line in a matter of minutes. Shout out to Derrick Rose, all the coaches, Coach K, his old coach, Calipari, you know, everybody saying that he's putting in work at the USA training camp. And he said himself that he's on a mission. I mean, he kind of said that last season, and his mission was cut short again. But they're saying he's even more explosive than he was before. I don't know if this is coach speak, and you're supposed to say that to keep his confidence up. But from all accounts, you know, Derrick Rose is looking pretty good in camp. So, you know, if he comes back, the Derrick Rose of old.
That guy played for Chicago back in
the What do you guys have? What are your expectations for Chicago if he does come back and play as well as people believe he's going to play, or at least what they're putting out there?
I'm scared of them.
I mean, y'all know I picked them to win the title last year, and then that all crumbled.
They need more help, man.
Need more people.
They need more help.
It's hard for me to imagine him playing a full season at this point. I know it's sad to say, but, yo, I'm not used to Derrick Rose. Like, yo, it's like sort of like what B. Austin said. Who is Derrick Rose? Like, I don't know. Like, can he come back and be that same explosive player? And if he is, wouldn't he be getting himself hurt again?
Yo,
like, the way he plays
is
reckless abandonment.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Jimmy. So there's that. There's the way he plays the game at his size. Pause. No, Jason Collins. He's headed for another injury. Him and what Russell Westbrook, the things that they do, your body isn't meant to do that. And I think that's why they face so much injury. I mean, dude, he's unless he's changed his game, let's face it, guys, he's not a terrible jump shooter, but if all he had was a jump shot, he wouldn't be in the NBA. So his J isn't that deadly. So I don't know what you get out of him, and I didn't see a whole lot of scoring come to Chicago. What are they going to depend on, Tony Snell?
Well, they got
Todd Gibson.
I mean, they got some more offensive role players. I mean, they did get they got Powell, who can create his own shot in the post. None of their big men could really do that before, and you know, they got the foreign dude, other foreign dude, and I can't pronounce
foreign
it. I'm
dude.
Not even gonna try.
Marodich,
or whatever, however you pronounce his name, and
foreign bull.
And you got, you know, Doug McDermott come off the bench and probably, you know, shoot the rock. But we'll see.
I'm rooting for Doug McBucket.
We still got a couple months before we got to make those picks.
Here's the thing. Like, when you think about that, if he doesn't play the way that he did before he got injured, like, is he even going to be effective? Like, that was the dangerous part about his game is the way he played. He was so explosive.
Right.
So if he comes back and he's not his explosive self, it's like, yo, he's like Tony Teague at that point.
Well, they supposedly rebuilt him. If you build it, they will jump. All right, let's talk some college football. Let's get Fred Perdue of HeavyInTheGames.com on the line. We're going to talk a little bit about Big Ten Media Day, Jameis Winston, the coaches poll, things like that. So, Fred, are you there? Can you hear us?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
pretty good. How are you? What's going on, bro?
I'm good. How y'all doing today?
We good, man.
I heard through the grapevine that you back down to your fighting weight. You're going to, you had your agent put the wire out to a couple camps. You ready to come in and work out. I heard you feeling good. You looking good, Paul.
Oh, for sure.
No doubt. Well, let's anything exciting happen at the Big Ten Media Day? I'm pretty sure it wasn't exciting as the SEC Media Day, but anything of note that we should know about?
A couple things. You have Urban Meyer. Biggest thing I caught from him, he's welcoming LeBron to actually come to every single home game at Ohio State. And he also said LeBron could play H-back and tight end for him. I think LeBron is pretty comfortable in Cleveland with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't think he wants to go back and play any college football, but that's something big for him. LeBron going back throughout his years from high school, he always said if he had gone and played college basketball, he would have played at Ohio State. He always openly supports his teams, which Ohio State is his favorite college football team. Seemingly those guys in Ohio, I don't really like talking about them too much, but Braxton Miller, their quarterback, their senior quarterback, he dropped some body fat, went from 10% to 7%, and he got a little beefier. He's up from 212 pounds to 20. So he wants to be a little bigger so he can take a little bit of punishment.
All right, so Jameis Winston, you wanted to give us an update on what's going on with him.
Mr. Jameis Winston, Florida State
Mr. Baseball.
Mr. Baseball, too, yes. Mr. Jameis Winston, 2013 Heisman Trophy winner, Florida State national champion, all the great accolades. He just can't keep his name out of the presses. Going back a couple of months before the season started, it's been reported that he actually was held at gunpoint for shooting squirrels with a BB gun. He got in trouble a little bit for taking a BB gun, which looked like a real gun around campus. Florida State, some of their rules are you cannot have any sort of firearm around their campus, and he was reprimanded for that. And it was right before he actually got in trouble for stealing soda at a Burger King. So, Jameis Winston, the petty things. It's not the big things. It's the petty things, and he just can't keep his name out of the press.
Can't keep his hands off of merchandise that don't belong to him.
Yes.
Not merchandise.
But
if you notice, Fred, you notice he steals a lot of food and stuff like that. So when he does get caught, you know, he can run that story like, man, we hungry. He can run that Shabazz Napier story. I'm hungry, man. They don't give us any money. He got a lot of people that'll feel sorry for him in them instances. So
Yes,
I feel him. I get it.
Definitely. When you walk out of public with a crab
neck. I think he's just a fat lineman that happened to be able to throw the ball.
Yes. And the thing is with Jameis Winston, I'm coming around on him as a quarterback. I was a little bit not so sure on him, but going into this year, I think he will improve, and as far as the NFL is concerned, he may not actually come out in 2015. Right now, there have been rumblings that he may stay for another year or he may go to baseball instead. So there's no guarantee he will actually go to the NFL just yet. But for all intents and purposes, if he did, he would be my number one quarterback coming out for the 2015 draft, hands down.
Okay.
Marcus Mariota.
Overrated.
I can tell you why, and it's more so by default, because when you look at other quarterbacks that are coming out, Sean Mannion from Oregon State, he's pretty good. He has a very strong arm, but Oregon State quarterbacks typically don't. They run a bit of a high passing system with a lot of great. Emphasis on NFL route trees, so they're not going to – you can kind of take him out. He's a guy that I want to see a little bit more Everything's there. It's the system that kind of bothers me at Oregon State. The Oregon quarterback in Marcus Mariota, the system bothers me. His size bothers me. He's a bit fragile. Kevin Hogan at Stanford, he reminded me a lot of Andrew Luck, and then he regressed him just terribly.
he reminded you of Luck, and then he
yes, he reminded me he reminded me a lot of Andrew Luck a lot, but his release, he has a very long release, a la Tim Tebow, and that is never good going into the NFL.
Yo, I've never heard Luck and Tebow in the same sentence.
Yes, I know. The release, it's very long. He's working on shortening that release, but also just throwing in the bat, in the double and triple coverages sometimes, and they run the ball a lot, so he kind of protects it. Stanford, really, they don't really have a lot of great receivers, so they have to run the ball, use their tight ends, get a little creative with it. But he was also in the picture. But for me, and Jacob Coker is the guy that you may want to watch at Alabama if and when he – secures that spot. He was the guy that actually pushed Jameis Winston in a real battle for that quarterback spot. He'll be taking the reins at Alabama. And
for
I think
the record,
he could be
Fred, I never think that works when, you know, you're already a college quarterback or even in the NFL like Tebow was when somebody tries to change your release. Never, you've been thrown that way all your life. And just like Tebow, they, you know, changed his release. He was, quote-unquote, supposedly looking good. And then he, you know, you get into a game situation and you go right back to what you know because it's natural. So I never think that works, man. But
definitely
I don't
not.
Know.
Actually,
I've seen it work more in basketball than football, like when you change actually the release on somebody's jump shot rather than changing the release of how they throw a football. It's really difficult to change
definitely.
Nature.
I agree with you on that as well. The thing about it is when you go and want to change a guy's release, it's just, you're, like you said, you're changing what a guy does, and it's muscle memory. I actually have a video up on YouTube where it's actually a highlight video, but it really kind of shows how bad Tim Tebow was as a passer, underthrowing a lot. A lot of his success came from short dump-offs and a lot of speed on the outside. There's an actual play where the ball is actually
Fred, a lot of his success came from God. Man, you have to give God be the glory.
Why did I know you'd go there? Why did I know that you would go there?
I mean, don't take away from God, man. This man will be vindicated.
That's Jesus' favorite
winner.
Quarterback.
But
Tim Tebus. Christ.
Tim Tebow is going to – he won't be throwing any more footballs anytime soon. The SEC is going to treat him really well. With ESPN. So I don't think you'll see him throwing any more football, thank goodness.
Well, he's going to be playing catch with his new neighbors because he just bought a nice house.
But, that's great and all. Don't break anyone's
hands. The USA Today coaches poll came out. Anything there that you weren't expecting?
I really did not expect to see Texas A&M in this. They lost a lot. They lost a lot at quarterback in Johnny Manziel. He was the team. Right now they're going to be breaking in more than likely a freshman in Kyle Allen. You don't see one of the other five conference teams, and when I say other five, a team from the CUSA such as a East Carolina or a Mountain West team like a BYU or a Boise State, you don't see any of those type of teams right now, mainly because they've gone through coaching changes. Boise State lost their coach to Washington, who actually rounded out the top 25, and Chris Peterson. So you lose a lot of that. Didn't expect to see Texas in there at all. Texas, they had a lackluster year, coaching change. Seven players kicked off the team and reinstated within the next week. Charlie Strong hasn't really given me a reason to see why he should be in the top 25, but they are Texas. And
they got some Stephen A. suspensions.
And last but not least, I really expected to see the Florida Gators in there. They had a 4-8 year, but when you have basically guys coming off out of class to play offensive tackle for you, you really are going to go through a 4-8 year, even losing to Georgia Southern. And that's something you never see. But when you're down to your third string quarterback and some walk-ons and some transfer, they were transferring guys in middle of the year, basically. Guys you had never heard of. So this team is going to be vastly improved. The defense is going to be fine. The question I have is for them is on offense. if Jeff Driskel, their quarterback, can come back healthy, you'll see them in the top 25. But right now, I really, really question why they weren't.
You're saying the Gators just went up in the psychology class and just looked for anybody that was a big
they,
dude.
They
and
were
they
taking,
told them,
they were taking
come on out to practice.
They were taking Devin, you could have been on that team. Really.
I'm bad.
Running back.
What's that saying about Devin? You trying to say you can't play football?
I know. I'm nice. What are you talking about? I'm nice. But, all right, so that's what's up, man. Well, of course, as usual, we'll wrap more next week about this. I'm getting a little excited because the season is upon us. And, you know, for the last year or so, my college football knowledge has basically come from you. Every time you come on the air and give us a new tidbit to actually go out and look for, you know, it's always exciting to go out there and look at these guys that you tip us off to. So let everybody know before you get off the line where they can find you on the internet.
Well, you guys can hit me up on Twitter at FPurdueSports, always talking college football, talking NFL. I actually got a little piece going up on YouTube in a couple of days. We broke down basically every record of the NFL teams. Looking forward to putting that up. And you can also visit heavyinthegames.com. Going to be doing a little something different with college football. Just got to stay tuned. So you can reach me there.
I was upset, man. I was supposed to be a part of that preview time scheduling conflicts, but make sure you hit me on the next one. And look, y'all can also catch them on Field Vision. That's our weekly NFL show on WarRoomSportsTV.com. We haven't done our initial show for this season yet, but y'all can also catch Fred Perdue on Field Vision with us. So good talking to you, bro, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys, before I go, just to let you know, I was very unbiased. Just a little teaser. You'll be very surprised with the Patriots were selected for me.
Uh-oh. All
let's
right.
just say it was close to a one. It was very close to not having a double-digit win season.
Is that up yet? Or?
It'll be up tonight. It'll actually be up
all
tonight.
Just shoot us a message. Let us know when it's up so we can go look at this.
You said close to not having double digits?
Very close. Very close.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
All right, Fred.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Cool. Fred Perdue,
oh,
everybody.
Fred
heavy
Fred
in the games. College football. All right, man. We're about to get into the Stephen A. Smith conversation. So, you know, for that, we're going to have on Hank from Imaginary Players. So he should be on the line in just a minute or so. Fellas, this has been basically what's been not really, it hasn't been in the news as much as we've been talking about it, I don't think. On our page, like, there was a few posts put up about it. And the natives just went crazy. You know, it's a lot of people that I agree with their take. There were several people that I didn't agree with their take. Hopefully some of those people will call in tonight, or if anybody's listening and they want to give their opinion on this whole Stephen A. Smith, Ray Rice, domestic violence type thing, we can do that. Jim, you want to screen team real quick? And
yeah,
B. Austin, the whole Ray Rice thing. Before we get into Stephen A. Smith, Ray Rice, of course, for his role in the little domestic situation with his then-fiance, the NFL ended up giving him a 2-game suspension, and a lot of people were kind of up in arms, you know, thinking that he should have gotten more. And what they point to is the fact that, you know, you have guys getting a 4-game suspension right off the bat for marijuana. You got dudes doing a year for repeated marijuana offenses. So that's the one that everybody keeps comparing it to. And by the way, we got Hank on the line with us now from Imaginary Players. What's going on? Oh, let me get him on the line. Hank, what's up? You on the line?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? What's going on? Glad to join you, obviously.
Much.
Hey,
for joining
what's
us, man.
Daddy?
But yeah, but before we get into the Stephen A., I was just asking B. Austin about the whole Ray Rice punishment, because a lot of people thought he should have gotten more. B. Austin, what are your thoughts on that? For me, personally, before you even go, like, I'm not the NFL or their little punishment division or whatever you call it. So I don't really know. Like, it's a lot of precedent that fans think have been set. I don't know, man. Like, the dude got suspended. He's losing a lot of money. I'm not sure what he should have gotten, but what do you think?
I think that people are projecting. They're projecting their morality, and then you know, what they would like to see done in terms of condemnation and discipline that's attached to their condemnation for actions. I don't know. I mean, when you start talking about the difference between, first of all, let's be clear here. The NFL understands that it runs an asylum for young men who have spent the majority of their lives pumping themselves both naturally and artificially full of testosterone and aggression. And so the NFL makes no qualms about, you know, internally at least, understanding what they have on their hands, which is aggressive, young, super athletes that aren't necessarily ratsy type. So their punishments are tied to their brand and their brand's perception. So drug use, it's thought, and the perception of drug use is that, A, it could impact what goes on the field of play, and B, a drug addict or a person that participates in drug use, in drug culture, they're more negative and on the outside of what society deems as acceptable. Sad to say, domestic violence isn't necessarily looked at as being as bad as drug abuse. So the NFL's punishment and the way the NFL moves is all tied to brand protection and image, not so much what's right or what's wrong. So drugs, whether right or wrong, it has an impact, and it can be tangibly, like, defined what the impact is of someone who has a chemical substance in their body on the playing field.
All right, so
beating up your girlfriend or your wife has nothing to do with the actual game.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, a lot of people are going to take that the wrong way, but I understand exactly what you're saying. Hank and Jimmy, what are your thoughts to kind of what B. Austin was just saying about the brand? I saw a stat recently that said like 45% of the NFL's fan base now women. So what kind of message are they sending to, you know, this large percentage of their fan base when one of their players can, you know, basically knock a woman unconscious and then get what fans deem as a slap on the wrist? I mean, like I said, fans, because the dude is losing a lot of money, and a lot of people don't make that kind of money, and we're always counting everybody else's money. So we call it a slap on the wrist, where dude could really be hurting from this.
Absolutely, man. In the words of the great Chuck D, people always want to count your money but never want to count your bill. That's one. Number two, I mean, listen, I know 99% of their fans wear high heels at this point, but at the same time, what should he have got? And that's the thing. This is what I find crazy. A black man got off easy and everybody's going crazy. Like, you know, they usually try to rip a brother. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, not that I'm condoning what he did.
Whoa, King. That black man beat up a black woman that he later married.
Yes, he did. And the black woman is God. So listen, I think what he did was completely wrong. I mean, he was all out of pocket. Now, do I know all the facts? No, because I think if it was just as simple as him grabbing her and, like, you know, laying a smack down, he would have got roofed. It's more to the story.
They were rumbling. I mean, that's clear. Yeah. Because she made public apologies for her part in this too. They were rumbling. Like, they fought, and she lost the fight because she can't beat the dude. And it's always, unless I'm being serious, but it's always going to look terrible because we're not supposed to, you know.
And
what are your thoughts on this, Hank, man, before we go into the Stephen A., what's your thoughts on the whole Ray Rice and his punishment?
So I saw the comments from a bunch of people talk, you know, trying to compare the Josh Gordon situation to the Ray Rice situation. But what most of these people don't understand is that with the NFL, with the drug policy, it's not a situation where the first time you smoke marijuana, you get suspended.
Right.
Not for the majority of you know, the drug violations, your first offense, you just get put into the program. They never announce it. They don't tell any.
Right.
They don't tell your
right.
team anything like that.
Right.
It's all swept under the rug. So for people to say, okay, if he would have just smoked, you know, a little bit of marijuana, he would have got four games. That's incorrect. That's not what would have happened if Ray Rice had
right.
smoked marijuana for the first time. So, you know, throw that out of there.
But
like Jimmy said, I just don't understand what's the right amount of suspension people are expecting him to get. Like, I mean, is it supposed to be half a season just because it got caught on tape and we saw the aftermath? I mean, because really, that's all it is. If this was just a report and we never saw him dragging her out of the elevator, then, you know, nobody would be clamoring and saying that he needs to be suspended and the NFL didn't do enough. Because at the end of the day, legally, nothing really happened to him. When they went and testified in front of the judge, you know, whether or not they were lying, you know, they both were saying that it was both of their faults. And, you know, we'll get into this a little bit more with the Stephen Smith thing, but, I mean, obviously something happened in that elevator that was more than just him just knocking her out. Like the police report said, they were both throwing punches. You know, there were reports of her spitting on them. I mean, there was a lot of things that went on that day in that elevator. So, you know, for everybody just to get on their righteous thing and not understand the story, that's the biggest thing with it. People were just talking like they actually researched or were in this elevator and they knew everything that went down. Like, half the people that are talking didn't hear the comments, didn't read the reports on what happened, you know, 6 months ago when this whole thing happened. So it's just a lot of people jumping on it and trying to make it sound like the NFL hates women all of a sudden now.
Real quick, gentlemen, when we talk about the money aspect, Ray Rice's contract provided that he would be paid $4 million in the 2014-2015 season. So a two-game suspension is the equivalent of $470,588. In addition to that, he had a fine of $58,823. So his total lost wages for the 14-15 season is going to be $529,411.24. Not to mention that he is now totally out of the endorsement game for at least the next 24 to 36 months. So he's unable to recoup that in endorsement.
No, he's done. Because remember,
yeah,
he's
I was about to say, you mean years,
24
right?
to 36 months. His, even if it's
24
to 36, 36
years,
months, his career is – as a running back, he's going to be on the decline if he's still in the league. So, yeah, he's done.
And not to mention, this is probably the last year where he's going to make that sort of money, because I don't know if y'all saw Ray Rice last year, but I'm going to average 2.5 yards a carry. Like,
well, they don't even give him the ball no more.
Well, it's Flacco's team now, so, you know. It's Flacco's squad.
Should you give him the ball if he only gets you 2.5 yards anyway?
like, does he deserve the rock? All right, so we know Ray Rice's situation. He actually gave a little statement today, you know, trying to own up to the whole thing in an attempt, of course, to try to, you know, hurry up and get this swept away so he can move on with his public life. But the big news that we've been talking about all week is the fact that ESPN has suspended Stephen A. Smith for a week for his comments not directly tied into Ray Rice himself, but comments that he made, you know, because they were talking about the Ray Rice situation, some comments about domestic violence. And before we talk about the comments, we're going to actually play what he said. We encourage everybody to call in to give your opinion, especially after you hear this clip. That number is 323-410-0012. Just press 1, and we'll try to get to you because we want to talk about this and get a lot of opinions on it. So here were the comments that got Stephen A. Smith suspended.
By that, we keep talking about the guys. We know you have no business putting your hands on a woman. I don't know how many times I got to reiterate that. But as a man who was raised by women, see, I know what I'm going to do if somebody touches a female member of my family. I know what I'm going to do. I know what my boys are going to do. I know what I'm going to have to remind myself that I work for the worldwide leader. I'm going to have to get law enforcement officials involved because of what I'm going to be tempted to do. But what I've tried to employ the female members of my family, some of whom you all met and talked to and what have you, is that, again, and this is what I've done this all my life, let's make sure we don't do anything to provoke wrong actions. Because if I come, or somebody else come, whether it's law enforcement officials, your brother, or the fellas that you know, if we come after somebody has put their hands on you, it doesn't negate the fact that they already put their hands on you. So let's try to make sure that we can do our part in making sure that that doesn't happen. Now, you got some dudes that are just horrible, and they're going to do it anyway. And there's never an excuse to put your hands on a woman. But domestic violence or you know, with or whatever the case may be, with men putting their hands on women, is obviously a very real, real issue in our society. And I think that just talking about what guys shouldn't do, we got to also make sure that you can do your part to do whatever you can do to make to try to make sure it doesn't happen. We know they're wrong. We know they're criminal. We know they probably deserve to be in jail. In Ray Rice's case, he probably deserves more than the 2-game suspension, which we both acknowledged. But at the same time, we also have to make sure that we learn as much as we can about elements of provocation. Not that there's real provocation, but the elements of provocation, you got to make sure that you address it, because what we've got to do is do what we can to try to prevent the situations from happening in any way. And I don't think that's broached enough, is all I'm saying. No.
All right, those were the comments by Stephen A. Smith. This was the usual, you know, media firestorm. It was a situation where the show that he's on, you know, they run the show, they have no problem with what he said. There's no backlash from ESPN, but as soon as some backlash starts coming from the public, then, you know, of course, they just switch up on you, suspend you for a week. Now, everybody that I've seen or heard or even talked to who had a problem with the message that he was trying to convey, they all emphasized the trigger word provoke. They're basically saying, you know, by using the word provoke, he's kind of blaming
it
on. Listen, yeah, they're saying he's blaming it on the victim. I personally didn't get that from him, and I think I know and understand exactly what he was trying to say. So I don't have a problem with anything that he said. Do any of you guys have a problem with what he said or how he said it? You know, or how the message came across?
Absolutely, positively not. I thought he stated it in an eloquent way. He articulated exactly what my position is. And if I were him, which I'm not, and I'm pretty sure he's not going to do this because of the money he makes, but I would either boycott that show or never return, because my personal views and integrity withstand the bull crap that the worldwide, quote-unquote, worldwide leader of sports puts out there. When you put me up on a platform as a talking head and a puppet, and you want me to rabble-rouse, you want me to get emotional, you want me to throw things out there that will move the needle, you know, even in a sensational manner. But then because there's a little bit of blowback, because the average person's IQ is under 100, you get mad because of the response. I think it's ridiculous that this dude got suspended for saying something that was essentially, in my opinion, totally 112% correct. I think this was ridiculous, and I'm not going to get into my full views because I know we want to hear from all the rest of the brothers, but I got a lot to say on this.
It's interesting that you first of all, you brought up the platform that he's on, because personally, I don't watch that show much. I've seen that show probably 10 times since in his existence, even since going back to when it was Cold Pizza. But obviously it's wildly popular because every sports fan that I talk to, they quote something Stephen A. or something Skip Bayless said every day, even though they try to say how much they hate the show, but that seems like the only show they watch religiously. It's from what I understand about the show is that, you know, they give them these controversial topics and they're supposed to give their opinions and they're supposed to quote unquote keep it real. So it you know, it kind of bothers me as well that as soon as you get a little media, kickback, a little backlash from the outside, that this is the first thing you run and do. I understand it because we've seen it before. We've seen it with Rob Parker on the exact same show. But it's weird to me that you want to put them in this type of a platform and then kind of punish them for something that they ended up saying in this platform. Hank, what are your thoughts?
They're selling out.
Do you have problems with anything he said or how he stated it?
I have no problem whatsoever. I think really the issue with this whole thing is that the majority of the people that seem to have a problem didn't listen to that whole entire clip. There's no way I could believe that Michelle Beadle, who is his coworker, who really is the one who's responsible for starting this firestorm, listened to the entire clip. Because if she did, she wouldn't have taken it to the level that she did. She started to try to say that, okay, if I wear a short skirt, or one of her tweets was, if I wear a short skirt, does that mean I'm provoking, you know, basically getting raped? Like, that's not what she said at all.
Yeah.
she took it so far beyond what he said. What he said was a message that everybody needs to take into account. Yes, you can provoke things to happen to yourself. I don't understand how that's even debatable. I mean, and you have to know the sort of person that you are dealing with, because Ray Rice, NFL guy, you've been talking all day about how NFL players are a little off. His whole life is built around aggression, quick responses, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? If you hit him, there is a chance you could get hit back. Not saying that he should hit you back, not saying that a man hitting a woman is right, but it can happen. You can provoke it and put yourself in a situation for that to happen. That's all Stephen A. was saying. Don't provoke things like that.
Yeah, I didn't understand the uproar because of the term myself, because, you know, I've seen plenty of provocative situations. Now, just like Hank said, okay, the guy is definitely wrong for, you know, if he reacts in a way that he's not supposed to react, but women can't always just bank on the old adage and the societal norm that men aren't supposed to put their hands on women. We all know that that's the case. You're not supposed to, but there's millions of jackasses out there who do. So, you know, just because we think we have that in our back pockets doesn't give anybody the license to go out there and just, you know, I've seen in person, I've seen videos, I've seen people slapping men, punching men repeatedly, and I guess it's all based on the notion that a man isn't supposed to put their hands on a woman. I wouldn't do it. Like, there's always, for me, I think that there's a way to restrain a woman who's, you know, kind of acting unruly in your presence or whatever. I think there's a way to restrain a woman without actually doing her physical harm, just because men and women are built differently. And in most cases, not all cases, because there's some big chicks out there that'll kick your ass. In most cases, you know, you should be able to, you know, exit the situation or restrain the situation. But at the same time, every single dude isn't wired like that. There's some dudes out there who will hit a woman without being provoked. But then there's also the guy out there who, you know, if you push his buttons the wrong way, then he's going to turn to violence. I really don't understand the disconnect in the message, because as far as my female circle is concerned, like, I would tell them, and I have told them almost the exact same thing that he said. Okay, if this dude put his hands on you, we're going to end up handling that, But, you know, don't be down there acting crazy, slapping him and doing all that kind of stuff just because you know that we're going to handle that if anything's happening. Mm-hmm. You can't operate like
yeah.
that.
And all right, let me
see. He was sending.
All I want to say is this, right? Sorry, like, the first thing I want to say is I definitely do not condone hitting women. I love women. I love all my sisters. I love my Nubian white females. I love you all. But I just don't condone. I mean, I've had situations where a woman tried to provoke me. I mean, for Christ's sake, I keep it a bean. I had a woman pull a burnout on me, you know, because she was emotional about something else. But that's a whole nother story. I don't have a right to defend myself, and I didn't. I've never in my life laid my hand on a woman, even when she pulled the burnout on me. But with that being said, right,
if that ain't provocative, what is then?
Exactly. But the thing about it is now, getting to what Stephen A. said, I kind of agree with what Mojo said in our chat room. It's about who he offended. He offends people every day. He offends African-Americans. Mm-hmm. He offends, you know, whoever it may be, he offends people. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about people, not only do they have power, but they'll exercise the power. The feminists, Dev, you know this, the feminists go hard. Mm-hmm. The feminists, you know, people who fight for gay rights, like, you can't offend them right now. We live in a society now where everybody wants to be the oppressed people. Everybody's a victim. You live in a victim society.
It's popular to be a victim. Yeah.
It definitely is. Everybody's oppressed, right? So certain things just can't go down. And the thing about it is, what I don't like is that show is exactly what Dev said. So if you're going to have that show, you're going to have to understand that this is part of what comes with it. It's sort of like, yo, they didn't have his back, although this is how they make their money. They make their money by him saying things like that. But then when it hits the fan, it's like, yo, you're the scapegoat. You have to understand what you're doing with that show. I read a story today that was talking about WorldStar, right, and how they get 10,000 lawsuits a month. But it's part of doing business, and they know that. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, that's just part of the business because of what they put up. They expect it. When you have a show like a First Take, when you want to touch on topics like this and you're supposed to give your honest opinion, you have to expect that you're going to get backlash from certain groups. But I also, you know, understand that, you know, the feminists are no joke. We've gotten the brawls, Twitter brawls with them, and, you know, when we haven't even said anything. Like, they came at Dev's neck. They tried to assassinate Dev. They was looking for him.
Consumer rape. Hashtag consumer rape.
Dev put out a hashtag that said he got consumer rape by a parking lot as a joke. Hashtag consumer rape. Yo, the feminists were, like, threatening his life.
I'm sure I told this story on air before, but I was at a New York hotel, and they charged us $75 to park at the hotel, and you didn't have in-and-out privileges. So if I left, went to a show, came back, parked again, that's another $75. So I went on Twitter, and I vented, and I used the hashtag tag consumer rape. And, yo, for eight, nine hours, like, I was getting murdered on Twitter.
And, yo, they move like a
and I only
like
got like 200
like
followers,
so
I don't know.
And then 25,000 come in. And,
yo,
and another
and
thing is none of them were following you, which means they were just searching for anything
yo,
that has to do
exactly.
trolling.
Exactly. I got like 200 followers. I'm like, yo, I had more people killing me that day than I had following me the whole time I've been on Twitter.
My thing is they're very
sensitive to these issues, so it's like Stephen A., like, you know, he's the scapegoat and all this, although the show, this is what the show is about. I mean, they offend people all the time. I mean.
Exactly. They've created this show where basically they have barbershop conversation all day long. So if you have a barbershop conversation, for everybody that's been in a barbershop, you know sometimes barbershop conversation isn't going to be necessarily PC, even though I don't even think this was un-PC the way that he said it. But.
Right.
If you're going to promote a show like that, you need to defend and stand
stick
behind
your guns.
People, man. ESPN is wrong.
Yeah, stick to your guns.
We got a couple comments. We got a couple comments from people listening in on Twitter. Shout out to Johnny Guns at Johnny5Guns. His two cents. Stephen A. Smith was careful enough with his words. You know, a tiny guy can't provoke a big guy. basically he said that he thought Stephen A. used his words the right way, so he didn't see how this happened. At KCMac38 says, as a dad to a little girl, I reached that if you hit a male, expect to get hit back. Keep your hands to yourself. I guess he tried to teach us that. So
that's what I would, you know, if I have a little girl,
like,
don't
hit nobody.
Yeah.
Keep your hands.
I mean, even verbally berating a dude, like we said, it doesn't. No one condones a man putting his hands on you.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you have to understand that those jerks are out there. So you can't just verbally berate a dude. You can't put your hands on a guy and just expect nothing to happen, because you know that the societal norm is that men are supposed to be upstanding enough not to put their hands on women. Like,
right.
That really being the norm
probably was all in his face
a long time ago.
Yeah, with the Ray Rice situation, something
probably happened. But when we were having this conversation on social media, I actually posted a few videos in the comment section to kind of, you know, for the people who were so caught up on the word provoke and the whole thing about provocation, you know, I had to post some things on there just to let them know that, yeah, this is a thing. This is a concept. People actually do this. You know, one of the videos was there was a gentleman. This video was, you know, they were ratchet videos, but they got the point across. The first one, you know, they were in a store or something, and the girl kept punching this guy in the face. He's holding his hand out just to say, "All right, that's enough," and she keeps punching him. He's trying to defuse the situation. She punched him a couple more times, and the dude just snapped. What happened after that was ugly. She got beat down like she was a very big man. She was a very big girl, but he beat her down like he just forgot she was human. So that, of course, is how not to handle it in his case. But at the same time, you can't just keep punching the dude because you think he's weak. Like, no matter – she outweighed the dude, no doubt. But there's always that thing with some women where they think that they can just beat everybody. And I had some people in my family like that, who swears they can, you know, beat everybody they date. If you think you can beat the person you're dating, then why are you dating them if you think he can't protect himself against you?
Yo.
But anyway, the second video.
Listen, we got a comment on Facebook. Shots for Reasons listening in, who tells me I need to reevaluate my life because women are pulling burners out on me. I agree, Varese. I'm reevaluating my life.
I agree, too. I was going to tell Jimmy that off air, but. But anyway, real quick, and I'll let y'all go, I just want to tell you about the second video. Was I guess it was teenagers in a classroom. The guy's sitting in his chair. The girl is standing over him, just berating him. And she's kind of delusional because she keeps saying, "Hit me, hit me." He keeps screaming to her, "I'm not going to hit you. I'm not going to hit you." She's screaming to him, "I'm going to get somebody to F you up, blah, blah, blah." He was like, "Well, I'm not going to hit you." He kept putting that out there. She walked away. And then she turned around, went crazy, came and tackled the dude out the desk. He kind of, like, flipped her off of him, got up, and still walked away from the situation. So that's how you handle it as a man, but at the same time, she was dead wrong. She provoked him. It's a thing. It's real. So that's
I saw the video in question, and I definitely respected that young man's response. And I think my whole thing in this is it boils down to accountability, responsibility for one's actions and behavior, culpability when that behavior goes wrong, and acknowledgement. You know, we're all going to say the same thing because we have similar backgrounds and we're generally good human beings, although we do say some pretty raunchy things on this show. No man should ever strike a woman.
Nobody can suspend.
No woman should ever provoke a man. And that's more or less a human thing. It doesn't even have to be broken down in terms of gender, for real. If as a human being, I shouldn't look to provoke another human being into an altercation, period, point blank. But both parties are accountable and responsible in a situation where an altercation occurs unless the violence is just completely unprovoked. And that is what Stephen A. was speaking to. That was kind of the point.
We got a call we got to get to.
Hold on, because the God is speaking. The response is dead wrong for obvious reasons, you know, if a man strikes a woman back. But we can't take and because of, you know, some sort of feminist leanings, and we got problems with the
social, geopolitical, you know, backdrop of this country to say that, okay, we're going to say, oh, gentlemen, you just can't hit a woman under any circumstances. That's not the way it should go down. We should all be accountable and responsible for our behavior and the way that we, you know, the way that we treat one another and respect one another as human beings. You know, and I think that's the point that was being made. Go ahead.
All right, listen.
Hold on.
You done,
God? No, my fault. That was me. I was just going to say, like Mike Tyson said, everybody got a plan until they get punched in the face, man. So, yes, you can go into a situation not planning not to ever touch a woman, but there are certain things that can make anybody snap, like the guy in the first video that said. Like, he planned to not do anything, but she provoked him to the point in which he snapped on her. It can happen.
Hank,
punching a dude in his face.
Yo. Hank, Mike Tyson also said, yo.
Are you talking out of turn?
No, I think we're all talking together.
I normally don't do interviews with women unless I fornicate with them.
He also said that, good brother.
Wrong dude to quote.
So let's get to the homie Nod who's on the line. And by the way, this Varias, want you to know, I definitely have to reevaluate my life, but those vittles were so good that, never mind. yo, Nod, what's up, homie?
Man, what up, man? Hey, shout out to whoever said they don't watch First Take, man. That's a good sports fan. He knows not to watch silly stuff, man. So shout out to him.
None of us do, really.
Oh, okay. Much respect, man. But getting into this thing, though, we got to understand, you guys talking right now or me and my friends talking somewhere, that's a different conversation than mass media. What do you see with politicians when they talk? Stay on message. Always stay on message. Make sure you have a singular voice. That's what they always preach because that's how mass media works. So the moment Stephen A. veered off and tried to say, okay, well, this side is this, we all know that's true. But once you do that in mass media, they're coming for you. That's the mistake you make. They're going to jump on it and say, oh, he's trying to equate this. He's trying to equate that. When that's what Stephen A. does with every conversation. When you went back to the thing with Mark Cuban and some of the other stuff with race, whenever he would bring up things that are against young black people out here, he'd always try to balance it and say, oh, well, they're wearing hoodies and they're sagging their pants. That's what he does. The problem was they got power, unlike poor black folk out here who don't have people to really speak up for them and get things done. Those women had people just pouncing on that word. Like you said, they just pounced on provoke. And at that point, they were going after him. And ESPN is what they are, man. They're mass media. They don't care. So they'll suspend the talent for a while. And now they're going to have all kind of articles. They're going to have all kind of radio shows based off that topic. And they're going to make money off that little controversy. So it always keeps coming back to them making that paper, man. But this is a mass media issue. This is not a real issue as far as looking at it in a real way.
Yeah, you know what?
That's why brothers like y'all have a hard time on mass media with them because, man, you can't be telling them the truth. They don't like that.
Absolutely.
That's why we started our own thing, man. They don't want us talking to the mass media, man. They don't want us with mass media.
You have a great point about having a voice to speak for you. As people of color, we don't have one united voice. So, you know, that's the issue because he disrespects us all the time. If he made a statement about
it.
If he made a statement about someone gay, it would have been the same thing.
Oh, man, if he'd have said, oh, boy, you already know the business. It wouldn't be a week-long suspension if he said something about gay folk. It would have been an apology and then a month or two suspension, or he would have got demoted to a lesser show. We might have seen him, you know what I mean, from primetime to ESPN2. You know the game, man. But if I could flip it back to the Ray Rice joint, that Ray Rice, he said ESPNU. Yeah, he's a cover of LaSalle football. Right. But getting back to that Ray Rice joint, the NFL, man, that's a PR machine. So I'm sure they just weighed it out and said, look, if we give him a slight suspension, we'll get a little bit of backlash. But if we give him a long suspension, this story's going to linger, and we're going to be talking about domestic violence in the NFL for a long time. So let's just do this short suspension. Take the little weight that comes with it, and then after that, this story will go away eventually because, you know, Ray Rice is not the biggest superstar out there.
Like, you got to be an NFL fan to really know
this brother decided to call up
once,
and teach
once
y'all
the
class. I hope listeners y'all taking some notes, man.
I was actually surprised by the fact that the NFL made this announcement right now, because this is the driest time of all sports. So it was very easy for this story to pick up legs. They should have announced this during the middle of the NBA Finals or during LeBron, when the same day LeBron announced his decision, because they knew that they were going to do two games forever. They're a good PR team. It surprised me that they announced it then.
I didn't even think about that point that Naj made, because here's the thing. By announcing it now, they take a little heat right now. Once the season starts, no one cares, including their fans that wear high heels. You know how people are about football in this country. Once the season starts, and first off, it's going to be a whole lot of other nonsense that happens in between now and that. I mean, you just see a gentleman asleep at his wheel drunk. So you're going to have a whole bunch of other stories. And once the actual ball starts to fly, no one's going to care.
Right, and Ray Rice will get booed for the first few carries when he comes back, and the NFL will just continue as usual. Now we got another villain out here that you can boo and come to the game and voice your displeasure, but make sure you pay for that ticket, that personal seat license,
exactly,
and that $10 beer and everything else. So we're gonna keep getting money out here. So I mean that's the game, man. So the NFL has showed women like, look, we run this. Y'all might be important during Breast Cancer Week, but we don't really care. I mean, that's just how they roll. I'm not saying I condone that. I'm just saying
exactly.
I mean, that's what it is, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for
your perspective,
man.
Ravens fans need to be upset at Ray Rice's performance trying to pick her up at the end of that video, man. How's your running back not able to pick a woman up off the floor?
He's like a little out of shape.
Ray Rice has been his performance has been slacking the last guy. He's moving backwards, man. He's on his way out anyway.
Yep, I agree.
You probably said that's why you only averaged 2.5 yards per carry this year.
I said, Hank must have had him in his fantasy league. He sounds some deep feels
upset.
Red
upset. He upset. He's been mad the whole time.
Hey, Naj, man, thanks for your perspective, man. Another great call, man. We appreciate the support, brother.
All right, much respect, man. I'll hang up and listen.
Right, yes, sir. Take it easy.
Thanks, brother Nas. Appreciate you.
Like I said, we've had conversations on this all week, man. I just think people just took that trigger word and just ran with it. Like, in no way. And Stephen A. made his public apology. It seemed like it was heartfelt. Of course, I thought it was probably he was forced to do it. It seemed like he meant what he was saying, because in his apology, he was really just telling people, he was reiterating that his intent wasn't to put the blame on the victim, because we all know, and he said this during his original diatribe, we all know that there are some creeps out there who, and some criminals who will, hit a woman, beat a woman, punch a woman for absolutely nothing. With no provocation whatsoever, and he made a point to emphasize that portion of his diatribe before he went on to say, "But we have to always watch what we do, what we put out there ourselves, as a means of provoking these type of situations." And I think that goes for a lot of things. B. Austin talked about it earlier, not just men and women, and not just about any type of violence. In a lot of situations, you have to watch what you put out there before something happens to you and you become a victim of somebody who can't take what you're saying, without making it something personal, without making it something violent. I have no problems whatsoever with his message, man.
I mean, I
think that, a lot of the topics we've covered within this conversation, I actually think it's a sad indication of where society is yet again. And we always kind of go back to this. But it's like people don't understand the definition of words. People don't do well with comprehending meanings. This is much to do really about nothing. And it does a disservice to those that really support women's rights, feminist, the feminist movement, because it's kind of like, okay, are you saying that
Crying wolf.
That's exactly what it is. If you're saying that a woman should be able to provoke a man and not get hit, then how are we equals?
But not even. But even if you're not saying that, Bielsen, if you're saying that if because somebody warns you about any provocative behavior, that he's blaming it on the victim. He's not. He's telling you that there are a lot of jerks out there who, once provoved, you know, just lose all home training if they ever had any. Because we all know that there's some out there who does it without provocation. So it's just a warning. So I just don't understand what all the backlash is, man.
I mean, this is, B. Austin said it, like, you know, it's part of the society we live in. I sit and think about, like, you know, I'm a huge fan of, like, Fred Sanford and Sanford and Sons, my favorite show of all time. I sit and watch it at times, like, yo, this couldn't even come on these days because he offended everybody. But we live in a world that
means to you.
Yo, that would never be able to come on these days. We are so sensitive to everything. And, you know, I blame these liberals. But even beyond that, like, I just don't know where we're going as a society. When who said you can't offend anyone? You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of crazy. Like, yo, you should be able to be offended. My whole thing is, if you don't like it, cut it off. And I understand why Stephen A. did what he did. He wanted them Disney checks, that Mickey Mouse money. And like Mojo says in our chat room, Michelle Beadle provoked him on Twitter. So she did some provoking herself. But this whole thing is ridiculous. It's much ado about nothing. And I also want to see, when he does come back, like, will he change his position on the show? Because Stephen A. gets into it all the time about all kinds of topics, and he's always gives his opinion, which is what the show is about. But how will this affect the show moving forward? What you guys think about
it? Good point. I've seen him say things that were much further in left field than this, and he probably got a warning in the production meeting, but nothing happened. But as you astute brothers have pointed to, it depends on the audience, the segment of the audience that's offended, and the power of their voice. And in this case, the power of that group's voice was able to cry wolf, throw this card down, and turn it into this.
And
let me put this disclaimer out there. I have no particular affinity for Stephen A. Smith. I don't dislike him. I don't particularly like him. You know, I've called him Screaming A. Smith before. I've joined in on the jokes, you know, about that, about his hairline, all kinds of stuff. So there's no reason for me to ever just go out on a limb to defend Stephen A. Smith for no reason. But this is one of those things where I just think that he's being done wrong in this situation. He is the scapegoat because of, you know, the backlash that came from his comments. I'm pretty sure while he was making the comments, his producers and everybody was back there smiling, saying, this is gold. We love it. I mean, just like
let me ask you, gentlemen, a question.
He got controversial. Cornball Brother, I'm pretty sure they were loving that. Oh, he's killing one of his own. They probably loved it until people, you know, were all up in arms about it. So
let me ask you guys a question. First of all, hashtag free Rob Parker, that's one. Let me ask you guys a question. If Skip Bayless would have made the same comment as Stephen A. Smith, would it have played out the same way?
Probably not, because their role on that show, I don't think that Skip is viewed as abrasively as Stephen A. is. I mean, Stephen A. is that he's supposed to be. Now, I don't really think he's all that intelligent, but he's supposed to be that super articulate, intelligent, abrasive brother. And I think we all, and by we, I mean both black people and white people, buy into that. And so he's kind of a heel, if you will, kind of using a wrestling reference. So he's meant to be that negative for a lot of folks. And I think Skip is as well, but it's towards a different segment. You know, I don't think that he's as offensive to the folks that got offended by Stephen A.
Put it like this, like in the few times that I've, 'cause like I said, I've seen more of them on videos that people have sent me of stuff that they were supposedly said that was controversial. I've seen more of that than anything. So anytime I've seen it, what it seems like to me is Stephen A. Smith, he tends to be more truthful about stuff and have actual personal experiences to back up what he's talking about, where Skip just seems like he's the hater and he's doing it. It might not even be it might not even be real. You know, what he's doing might
it's
be
contrived.
Like the opposite.
It might be
some wrestling stuff. Yeah, it might be contrived hatred.
Contrived.
And he's just trying to give an alternate perspective out of every conversation they have. You guys remember that's how the show with Wilbon and Kornheiser started like 10, 12 years ago. Like, for a while, they were faking on what they actually thought because one of them had to have – they had to play good cop, bad cop on every single topic. They don't – you know, in the later years, they haven't been doing that. They've been being a little bit more honest on what their thoughts are. But that's what it is. I think Skip is just there to be the voice of opposition to whatever Stephen A. Smith thinks. So, you know, I've seen videos of him. He talks a lot about the black community. And he's kind of in a lose-lose situation there because I think the people that get into the most trouble, the most controversy on these type of media platforms are the people who actually tell the truth. People don't really like to hear the truth. So I hear some black people talking about how Stephen A. Smith is a sellout, he's, you know, he's this. And then I've heard white people say that he's racist because – he's always pushing the black agenda. So
yeah.
He's in a lose-lose situation.
Yeah. Anytime,
yeah,
whatever,
here's the thing, though. Here's why I asked that question.
Because black people want you to blindly grab the race card and throw it down, and sometimes he doesn't. And white people
don't
want
he
to
never
join
does.
The city party and be.
Not that he should, but he never does. But my thing is this, though. I asked that question because I also wonder, like, you know, how hard the feminists came at him. Would it have been the same if it were Skip that says it? Because within this country, we still have a fear of the black man as it relates to, you know, to women and white women specifically.
Yeah,
I knew exactly
where you were going with that, and
absolutely.
I feel you.
Yo, Jimmy sound like Martin Lawrence at the pool table, yo.
See that.
The fear
no,
of
I'm
black
just saying, they afraid of black ball. They afraid of black ball, but it's true for that. I mean, keeping it in the context of sports, I mean, look at Jack Johnson. You know, when Jack Johnson had his Nubian white women that he liked making love to. They didn't appreciate that. What do you think King Kong was based on? King Kong was based on Jack Johnson. But I'm not going to get that deep into it. My point is, I do wonder if it would have came off different if it was, Skip that had said
it. The only response that I have, and I think I've watched the show a little bit more than you, Dev, and you, Jimmy. I don't know whether you even watch
that. Absolutely. No, I don't watch that.
I will say that there are times when Skip acknowledges the differences between white and black perspective in America and the fact that, you know, black people are oppressed people. And so I do respect that about him. He has done that
I know he does that. He does it on Twitter as well.
Yeah, but typically, you're right. You're absolutely right. Skip Bayless is there to play the heel, as well as Stephen A. is there to play the heel in some instances with other, you know, with other folks. But, yeah, more so, Skip is the contrarian. Skip is definitely the devil's advocate to Stephen A.'s truthful Tom routine.
Well, Jim, to actually answer your question, since I never did, I don't really think B. Austin did either. I think had Skip said it, I think it probably would have come off a little bit different. Because you did ask that question, and we both went off telling you what his role is and what he talks about.
Yeah,
that wasn't really the question. I think
he also would have delivered the message.
I think it
would have
gone
too, different.
True.
I think the way he's part of what happened was the way in which Stephen A. Smith delivered the message. I think, you know, we got the gist of what he was saying, and he tried to be precise with his words, but just Stephen A. being Stephen A., you know, there was that little bit of looseness with it, whereas if Skip had said it, it would have been probably a little bit more black and white. He would have took a little bit more time to, you know, clearly define that he's not talking, he's not saying that Ray Rice was right in this situation. You know, Skip would have delivered it a little bit better as well.
My thing, Hank, I kind of agree with you, but I think that Stephen A. took, like, he went out of his way.
Okay, he did it to the best of his ability. He did it to the best that he could. But Skip is really good at playing that contrarian devil's advocate role without eliciting any emotional response from the other side.
Got you.
Because he's practicing, because he's used to not believing anything he says, probably.
Exactly.
Or he knows how to deliver these messages.
Stephen A. believed what he was saying right now. Stephen A. absolutely believed what he said in that message.
I don't think them devils need practice. They born it. No, I'm sorry. But the bottom line is, man, this thing
suspend Jimmy, man, for a week.
Jimmy, you suspended
until like 5:45 next Thursday.
We don't mean to offend you. That was Jimmy.
Yo, free Rob Parker, man. Free Stephen A., man. Free them all. Yeah, I'm saying free them all. Here's the funny thing, though. My man straight used the N-word on air, and they ain't do nothing about it.
Oh, Stephen A. did?
Cool.
Yeah, Stephen A. did.
Oh, he claimed that he didn't use it, though.
Yeah, all right. And Bill Clinton claimed that he didn't have sex with that woman.
Is it on video?
It is on video. It's on YouTube.
All right.
My man said, y'all niggas tripping. He hit him with the Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a few things on my
DVR. Exactly what he said was, he said, N-word, please.
Because I'm about to drop.
He didn't actually
I had
say
something on
word.
My DVR for like 3 years where Bomani Jones was falling asleep on Around the Horn. So I'm about to
around
slander
the horn,
him.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
And if he tried to say he didn't, I'm going to find a way to put that video out there. We got one more coming if somebody want to scream. People always do.
Yeah, we only got a couple minutes left. So let's just bring him right on, Derek, because it's like 2 minutes left.
All
right.
Go ahead.
267-760, you on the air.
Yo, y'all screamy? Damn, I thought we was better than that.
we usually do, man. We can't have people calling and going crazy as soon as we let them on the line.
Come on. Y'all know me, Miss MJ. Y'all know I ain't going to do that.
MJ,
what's up, homie?
We ain't got no call ID,
what's going
man.
On?
this the real Mike Jordan?
Yeah, hey, I think
it's the real Mike
Jordan. Last I checked.
What's good,
going
man?
On, man?
Not,
what's your thought?
Not Michael Jeffrey.
No, Michael Hakeem, dog.
We already told him, Mike. This the real MJ, man.
Yeah, I mean, my thoughts are, like, I think ESPN went overboard. I don't think he did anything wrong. It wasn't like he was condoning the beatdown. He told him that it's not, you should never put your hand on a woman. But, you know, his point of them not provoking a dude in this day and age is true. Because now these young cats are crazy. Like, they're not, you know, against going up and haul off and knocking the lady out. So why would you put yourself in that place? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, that's just yourself in a bad spot.
I agree, Mike. I think he was just basically letting them know what goes on in these streets. Like, he wasn't blaming any victims. He was just, it was a word of warning, basically. Word of warning.
We can't blame that on the youth, though. Domestic violence is an age-old sport, you know. Shout out to Ike Turner.
Yo, I wish we had more time speaking of Ike Turner, because I got some quotes from that dude that will rock your world. Like, dude is delusional.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah, we're going to get to those quotes. We got to get out of here, though, gentlemen.
Thanks
for the call. All
right, man. Thanks for calling in, man.
Take it easy, Mike.
Call in earlier next week, man.
Yeah, no doubt. No, man,
all right, Mike.
Family, dog. I couldn't do it.
All right. Take it easy, Mike. You already know, man. It's time to get out of here, man. Thanks everybody who tuned in today. Listen, you know, via the computer, called in or whatever. You know, shout out to everybody in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter. Special thanks to Fred Perdue for joining us to talk college football. Yo, special thanks to Hank from Imaginary Players. Check him out online. You know, you can find him also in all of our groups on Facebook. Tune in next week, same time, same place, live right here on demand on WRSPN.com. We're going to talk about some NFL preseason coverage next week. So until then, enjoy your week. Don't forget Facebook, Twitter, at War Room Sports, WarRoomSportsTV.com for all of our you know, video content, and WRSPN.com for the podcast network. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance, and we'll see you chumps on top.
All the blueprint.
Yo.
Every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B. Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323-0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, the tough push. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop stylist, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode.
Woo!
2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cap? You better name us.
War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.